I have a gentleman who's paying me $20,000 a month. I have another gentleman last week who handed me $5,000 in cash. And I literally texted my best friend and said, why did I not sell my pussy earlier? And he texted back, because it's illegal. But I'm just like, I am making so much money from something that is attached to my body. I can only imagine how much money I would have now had I started 20 years earlier.
So you teach a course. What was the course you just told me off camera that you teach?
Get paid to go on dates. So it's how to date rich men.
Date rich men. Mm-hmm. Tell me, that's not why you're here, but tell me a little bit about that.
I was on food stamps for 10 years, my kids and I, and then I got unexpectedly divorced and overnight became financially responsible in California. As you know, it's one of the most expensive states to live in. And I had a hustle to provide for my family. And I've seen so many women be absolute destitute after a divorce or a separation. And I am surrounded by wealthy men in California. It's part of what drew me to California is all the wealth that is here. And money makes or breaks you. If you have enough, you can have a good life. If you don't have enough, it's constant stress and struggle. And I've seen so many women who are smart and beautiful and brilliant and kind end up destitute when they have no reason to be. And so I'm like, there's all these wealthy men. There's all these amazing women. We need to merge these groups. And it's really me giving permission to women to say, I want to date a rich man. That can seem taboo. It can seem shallow. It can seem greedy. I think it's smart.
Is it a matter of reconciling the transactional nature of relationships? Because a lot of people will say, no, they shouldn't be transactional. Should be all about love and that's it.
Oh, my gosh. I think.
And the truth of it is, I think, as some of the relationships – psychologists and coaches that I've had on have said that they are transactional. You just have to not making, I think there's an art to making a relationship, which is transactional by nature.
Everything's transactional.
You have to make it feel like it's not.
Yeah. Everything is transactional. You know, it's funny. I remember a guy friend of mine years ago saying, I talk about how, I think I should get paid for sex, for example. And he goes, oh, we all pay for it in one way or another. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's exactly it is like, all relationships are transactional to a degree in whatever way. And I'm making women add to their standards. And that's how I articulate it. I try to make it less about transaction and more about having a standard that your life partner is successful on their own and can take care of themselves, have enough to be generous to you. But I also teach women, secure your own bag, because I've seen enough women marry men and then they get divorced and the women are left destitute. So I'm like, it's not enough just to marry a rich person. You also have to, in my opinion, secure your own bags. So if anything happens, you're solid. So it's just raising women's standards as a whole that you deserve a lot of money and you should date someone who has a lot of money. That can lead to a really comfortable and beautiful life, in my opinion.
Okay. That's enough on that. Yep. That's not why you're here.
I know. There's so many tangents to go.
Your story is unique and interesting.
Yeah.
Tell me about how you grew up.
I grew up in a super conservative religious environment. Grew up going to church 3 days a week. My whole family was super involved in the church. And so very early, I picked up on all the religious programming. And, for example, I remember as a little girl, I noticed all the leaders and teachers were men. All the women were in the nursery or in the kitchen. And so without them even saying what my role was as a girl, I picked up on what my role was as a girl, and it's to be in the kitchen or with the babies. And so I was committed. When Nicole Mitchell does something, she's all in. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to be the best good girl there ever was, and loved church, loved religion. Like, I was all in on my faith. And I had some issues. Like, they were more strict on girls than the boys. And I'm kind of a rebel by heart. It's this weird enigma. I want the approval, but I want to be free. And this ends up becoming the later explosion in my life.
What kind of church was your family in?
Baptist,
okay.
Mm-hmm. So I was in a Baptist church and loved it for the most part. Went to a lot of different schools. My dad's in the military.
So what part of the country was this?
All over. Since my dad's in the military. So we grew up all over the U.S. and in Europe. And then they settled in Minnesota when I was in high school. Went to Bible college. I did all the things. Went to seminary.
And you eventually became a pastor?
I eventually became a pastor, which was pretty scandalous for me because of my upbringing where women were not allowed to teach or preach. So for me to become a member of a church and rise up to the pastoral team was seen as like, I'm disobeying God's word. I'm mocking God. And I remember having this conversation with my parents saying, can we just agree that it's like a good thing I want to tell people that God loves them, that I'm not selling my body or drugs. And it was just too hard for them to wrap around because it was so sacrilegious at that time. But I did it anyway. So you can imagine if they freaked out over me becoming a pastor, you can only imagine how they reacted to me getting into the adult industry.
Yeah, I'll bet. Was that always in you?
Yeah, looking back, I've always been very, very sexual at a young age. I remember my mom would always say to me, "You're so sensual, Nicole. You're so sensual." I didn't really know what that meant when I was growing up. But yeah, I've always been like in touch with my body. I remember like touching myself at a really young age and getting caught and getting in trouble for it. And I didn't know it was bad. And I remember in middle school talking to my girlfriends and we're all talking about what we want to be when we grew up. And I thought everyone felt the way I felt. So I was like, I want to be a stripper someday, which is shocking. I even knew what that was because I was so sheltered. And when I said that out loud, all of my girlfriends' faces were just like shock and horror. And immediately I was like, I just did something bad. Okay, this is a horrible thing. Don't ever admit this out loud again. And so you quickly pick up on not to say your truth. I remember back in the day, because I was so religious, I used to believe in the rapture. And I'd pray every night that God would not come back or Jesus would not come back until I had sex. I'm like, please, I have to have sex before you come back. I have to have this human experience. So it just shows like it was in me at such a young age. But I know where to healthily channel it, talk about it, learn how to, you know, be safe with it until much, much later in life.
The way people will perceive your story is going to have everything to do with whether people think sex is bad mm-hmm. or whether sex is something normal and healthy.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, and you can imagine what all the people in my world.
Is your attitude on this different than your family's?
Yeah, we have very opposite opinions on almost everything in life.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And it's become you're just a, because you're a black sheep?
Yeah. You know what? I was telling a group of ladies of like a month ago, they're all in the lifestyle and we got dinner drinks. And I tell them, I genuinely feel like I was born in the wrong family. And I've never heard anyone else say that. Everyone always like, you know, it's all meant to be. This was God's plan, the religious version or the personal development. It's like it all came together. It was meant to be. To me, it's the same whitewashing of a story. It's too much of a bypass. And I can't say that genuinely at this point. Like, I was born in the right family because look where it brought me. I fantasize about what my life could have looked like had I been born in a sex positive family, in an LGBTQ friendly family, in a sex work positive family. Like, I would have started this career 20 years ago if I had known and had that kind of support. But I had to work through so many hurdles and obstacles and have become estranged from my family and friends. And I just like that could have all been prevented in my fantasy had I been born in the right family.
Tell me about how you made the transition or why you made the transition from being a pastor and then what you did afterwards.
The older I got, I think we just all evolve in our own human understanding and education and awareness. And I was all in on the faith. It was never fake or forced. But the more I rose up in the church leadership, the more I saw the hypocrisy, the more I saw the politics, the more I saw just all the bullshit happening behind the scenes. And I'm a bleeding heart for social justice. I got my master's in social justice. And I see how like kind of religion props up all the systemic injustice of the world. And here's my bleeding heart. You know, I realized I was queer later in life. My queerness, my fellow LGBTQ community and immigrants, I have such a heart. And I just see the way the church uses them or scapegoats them. And I just couldn't reconcile. And I eventually reached a point where, like, who is Nicole Mitchell apart from the religion, the rules, the dogma, the institutions? Like, if I can just find out who I am, that will be a life achievement. And so I left the faith being pretty disillusioned and went on this journey having no idea where it's going to lead me. I was pretty terrified. What if I make the wrong decision? Are my children going to hate me for pulling them out of the only community they've ever been a part of? What if this ruins us? And I just really surrendered to the process to see where it would lead me. And it led me to being a slut. Is how I genuinely feel. I feel like I was a closeted slut. Like people are like, what was your breakthrough? My breakthrough is like and the way I like to describe myself is like a wholesome slut. I'm like very authentic and genuine and caring and loving. And like I still feel like old Nicole Mitchell, just way sluttier and freer. And I like to joke, like, you know, when you're in the church, you're holy. And I'm like, well, I'm just doing even more holy work. I'm using all my holes and I'm doing God's original plan of naked and unashamed. And, you know, I like to get a little dorky about it because people get so offended and so triggered. And I'm like, let's take a beat. It's going to be okay.
Are you happier now than
Oh, my God. Happier, healthier, wealthier. Like everything in my life has exponentially improved since releasing all the rules and really tuning into my wiring, despite the stigma and shame that our culture and world tries to put on me.
Soft White Underbelly is about truth-telling. It's about creating a space for stories on society's most marginalized that venture beyond our own biases, which is why Ground News is the perfect sponsor for my channel. In a world where sensational headlines flood our feeds, some of the most important stories get overshadowed. Ground News highlights local news from around the world, which gives an on-the-ground perspective that might be missing from national coverage. The app and website empowers you to form your own opinions by serving you every article published on any news story worldwide, plus data about its credibility and where it may fall on the political spectrum. I particularly like their blind spot feed, dedicated to showing news stories that are underrepresented in the mainstream media. Their election coverage was a great example of that. It's easy to forget how much bias can shape the reality we live in. And in a world where our attention is constantly being fought over, my Vantage plan easily helps me keep up with the more important stories slipping through the cracks. So I encourage you to check them out at ground.news/SWU. Right now, they're offering 50% off their Vantage plan as a limited-time offer. Their platform is also subscriber-funded, meaning that when you subscribe through my link or even gift it to someone you know, you're helping to hold the media accountable and you're helping my channel. Thank you very much.
So you seem to have the whole sex work thing in control. You're not like using no drugs, they take it?
Right. That's okay. This is what I love about being
A lot of people that get into sex work are just destroying their lives.
Yeah, I think, and that's kind of a misnomer. I think a lot of people do. I think there's a lot of people destroying their lives in all kinds of careers.
For sure.
Right?
For sure.
I think one thing I do love about being an older woman in the industry is I'm so grounded in who I am. I am financially secure. I'm not doing this out of need or desperation. I am doing this out of desire and passion. And so it makes me very strong my boundaries. If someone comes along and wants to hire me and I don't feel the vibe, turn them down. I don't need their money. I don't need your weird energy in my life. Like I know what I want and I'm very unapologetic and ruthless about it. If a 20-something-year-old version of me would definitely still be a people pleaser, would be willing to like hustle for money that probably wasn't as safe because I need the money. And so that's one advantage to being my age is I just don't deal with any of the bullshit and everything is very, very clean and clear in my life.
And when you're doing things for the right reasons,
yeah,
like everything falls into place and you don't, yeah, get the problems that when you're doing it for money.
Yeah, that's how I feel. I feel like I'm doing what I'm passionate about. And I know most people don't believe me, but I feel called to sex work. I sometimes think like, oh, back in the day, I would have been like a temple priestess where people would have come to me and like to commune with God. They would go through me and my body. Like I feel that way when people interact with me. We enter another dimension and they lose themselves in a beautiful way. And it's so safe to experience that with me because I genuinely care about the other person I'm with in that moment. And so it feels like a calling and I feel the most alive and the most happy and the most fulfilled doing sex work.
That's such a different and refreshing attitude about everything.
Yeah.
There's so many questions to ask. Like relationship wise, how are your personal relationship?
So good. I forgot my ring. I have the biggest diamond ring. Speaking of dating rich, I have a very amazing, successful fiance. And that was something I was told, right? If you, in the church, if you follow your sexual desires or your desires in any way, you'll be destroyed. And when I got divorced, because it just didn't work out for so many reasons, I remember thinking, what if I'm unlovable? And then I'm getting more and more into the adult work and I'm like, what if I'm really unlovable? And so I had to work through a lot of my own sense of self-worth and beliefs of what is possible with love. Is it really possible to find a partner who can love all of me, not tolerate me, celebrate me in the work that I do? And so we are engaged. No plans to marry at this point. We've both been married and divorced, but we love the engagement season and he's very supportive. I have a small community of amazing friends who most of them are in the industry as well. And it's the most loving, inclusive, acceptive community I've ever been a part of.
What kind of sex work are you doing?
So I started doing OnlyFans and did that for – I still do that. I've been doing that for 7 years. Love it. And then it evolved into platonic dates. So gentlemen would pay me money to go on dates with them. Just that. Just lunch or just dinner. I make a great companion. I love conversing. I love getting to know people's stories. I love making people feel seen. But I've had a fantasy for years to want to be an escort. And I just thought it'll never happen in my lifetime because of I'm just late to the game. I have a fiance. I have kids. And I just kept saying in my next lifetime, because my partner is my priority. And things just clicked into place over the past few months where it's like we both felt we were ready for me to dive into that. So I've been escorting, and I am, when I say I love it, I love it. And I know people are going to think I'm crazy because people, we're so not used to this narrative of sex work. It's out of desperation or all these weirdos, but I could cry. It is so fulfilling. And the way these men are impacted at the end of our time together, it is like I live for this. And I'll come home and tell my partner and he'll be like, you need to write these stories down. Like, these are amazing stories of amazing humans you're interacting with. So I have like a little journal on my phone.
Tell me one or two.
It's like I attract a lot of virgins who have had a hard time, like meeting people in the world, feeling safe to ask a woman out. And like they find me online and they're like, they become such a healthier, more confident version of themselves just by our online interaction. I haven't popped a virgin cherry in person yet, but I am like so excited for that. I have like a few lined up. I have a heart for those who are conventionally not as attractive. So those who are older, those who have different disabilities, those who are conventionally unattractive, like the people that society shoves to the side, I'm like, you deserve love too. And so I find people from all these walks of life. I have a person in the medical field who lives in a very rural, isolated area and doesn't have access to women. So we have an online thing and we're planning an in-person thing. And so people see it as like this horrible thing, but it's like, these are all humans who deserve love and passion and intimacy. And for all different reasons, have a harder time in real life getting it than some of us, than some of other people. And if I can help you have that experience in a very safe, positive, healing, wholesome, hot, erotic way, sign me up.
What you're doing is so similar to what some of the other sex workers that you've seen on my channel have done, mm-hmm. but you're doing it in such a healthy, positive way. Your attitude is so positive that it's like hard to see what you're doing is anything other than healthy.
Yeah, that's
and healing.
It feels so healing. Like I the more I get into this, like I always joke with my friends that I have like a master's in human psychology and specifically male psychology, just because I interact with so many men and they tell me things they don't tell anyone else. And how can that not be healing? Like, I think shame breeds in the dark. And when you tell someone in the light, your truth, something you've been terrified to tell and it's safely received, how can that not liberate you? And so men will tell me like, I've always wanted to be pegged. And I'm like, oh, I love pegging. Get over here. You know, or like, I'm this many years old and I'm still a virgin. Is that okay? Oh my God, that's more than okay. And like, they can finally tell someone their secret. And they finally realize, like, this isn't bad. I think this is actually normal, what you're feeling and going through. And if I can help you reclaim that part of yourself, whether just by talking about it or fulfilling it in person or encouraging you to go find someone to fulfill it with in person, it has been nothing but radically healing for, I would say, the vast majority of men I've ever talked to in this career.
Yes, it's so interesting to hear this because you look at the church, the Catholic Church has had so many cases of really terribly inappropriate things happen with young kids.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of secrets in the church that are just like hard to get involved with for somebody like me.
Yes.
But then you hear this and it's like, well, this seems healthy and happy. And right? Like, you're not hurting anybody.
It's adults doing.
And yet it's illegal. A lot of
I know. This is what blows my mind. It's adults doing adult things, completely consensual.
And it makes you just want to rethink what the hell this country is all about.
100%.
In terms of this kind of.
Yes. Because I'm just like, this is the most healing work in the world. And it's interesting because sex work is shit on all the time, but it's the only business in demand 24/7. We are constantly being attacked and accused and scapegoated and policies to like harm us while they're secretly booking us behind closed doors. It is insane. The number of men on Twitter, for example, will say, no porn, none, like anti this, anti that, pro Jesus, and then slide into my DMs and ask me my rate. And it makes me so angry, like that they have the audacity to attack my industry and my people and our livelihood, but also can I hire you on the side? And it's like, this is the problem. And this is why I am so public about it. Like people, I have a lot of girlfriends who don't talk about this because it's illegal. But again, very similar to I think why you do this podcast is I think if we talk about these things, this is how progress happens and movement happens and healing happens. I think people who are typically prejudiced against sex workers, when they meet me and they find out I do this, you can see their wheels turning because I don't fit the stereotypical sex worker. I'm successful. I'm in a romantic relationship. I have children. I am doing very well for myself. This is out of passion, not desperation. And they're like, wait, what?
Is this something that you have to hide from your children?
No, they know I do OnlyFans. They know I do like adult work. We talk about the difference between, you know, kids do kid things, adults do adult things, and mommy does adult things. And at the end of the day, what I want you all to do when you grow up is to find out what you love to do and make a lot of money doing it. And that's what mom is doing. And they've seen it. They've seen going from food stamps to our multiple seven-figure lifestyle. And they've had different phases of like, so cool, you know, my mom's famous because I've gone viral a bunch of times, tons of articles on my line. And then from like, ugh, it's so weird you do that, mom. Like, I don't even, like, ugh. And then like, wow, mom, you've provided this life for us. Like, I see them go through these waves and I just know in the end they're going to be okay because I don't have secrets. And I just keep it very age appropriate. And my kids and I are very close as a result.
That's wonderful. How old are your kids?
Mine are 10, 13, 15, 17, 19.
Yeah, so they're old enough to know what mom's doing.
Yeah, and my oldest two are like, for years, they're like, here's how you can make more money. You should try this on Twitch. You should, like, they were trying to help me find more ways. You should wear a swimsuit while streaming on Twitch. And I'm like, I love this. Like, they have no shame. And I remember asking my older two kids, like, do your friends know what I do? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, do they ever give you a hard time for it? And they're like, no, why would they? And I'm like, well, you hear that. That's a question I get all the time. Like, what if your kids get bullied for your work? And I remember my oldest looked at me and said, why would we choose friends like that? And I was like, oh, like just so mature. And I honor their requests. Like when I go to their functions, I'm dressing more modestly, right? This is not about me. It's about them. When I go to my stuff, I dress very sexy. So we honor each other's boundaries, but they are all very mature and have handled it so well over the years.
And I'm sure at home you're a great mom and you're attentive.
I'm the best mom. Like this career has given me the space to be present with my children. So for an example, I have an assistant who does my laundry. She does my cooking. She does all my errands. I don't have to do any of that. So what do I get to do? I get to swim with my kids in the pool, which is what I did yesterday. I get to take my kids. We just got back from spending a weekend in Big Bear together. Like, I get to spend quality time with them because everything else has been delegated and I have a very supportive life. And so this work has enabled me to be an even better mom than if I wasn't doing this.
Wow. How does your husband feel about the fact that you will entertain men like you do?
So it's an interesting conversation because what we've learned through this journey is we didn't rush into it. We like took our time, really established our roots and our relationship. I have learned since we've both entered into this dynamic is I get so turned on when he's with other women. So I've discovered I'm a cuck queen. I didn't even know what that was until like a year ago. So because I'm seeing men, he's also free to go see other women. That's only fair in both our opinion. And when he does, I am the most turned on. So when he comes back and tells me about it, or I've been part of some of them, it makes me so mushy and in love with him. And it's so weird because it's just how I'm wired. And when I see my clients, I feel so alive and fulfilled and more in love with my partner that he is so supportive that I get to do this, that I come home and I channel all this mushiness onto him. And so we joke. He's like, you have an infidelity kink. He's like, whenever I go see other women or you go see other men, you fall in love with me more. And I'm like, I know. And I don't even know why. This is how I'm wired. And so he feels very supported by me to like go on his adventures. And then I feel supported to go on mine because both of us aren't doing it to avoid each other, to avoid conflict. It's like, this is my career, and this is an opportunity for him to have his own experiences, just like I am, and then bring it back together and channel that passion and new relationship energy into each other.
I bet you've learned things about relationships that a lot of us don't understand.
Yeah, and you know, I was thinking about it on the way here, because it's not always easy. We have to have very honest conversations about how I feel about this or how do you feel about that. But I was in a monogamous marriage for 12 years, and I'm naturally wired to be non-monogamous. And it was so stressful trying to stay monogamous in a relationship that I'm naturally not wired for. And so I choose my level of stress. If I was in a monogamous relationship, I would slowly whittle and die, and I'd probably cheat. There's some stress that comes with being in an open relationship, but it's worth the peace I feel. It's worth the freedom I have. And so I think we all have relationship stress or tension, but my hope is that people choose the one that supports them in their actual alignment.
Because not all people are wired the way you are.
Exactly. Not everyone's wired to be non-monogamous. Not everyone's wired to be monogamous. So it's like finding out who you are and a relationship that supports it. I'm willing to have the hard conversations if it's going to get me closer to living my truth, then avoid those conversations and quietly suffer, because I did that for most of my adult life.
What kind of stressors come from having this non-monogamous lifestyle?
Because there's always going to be more demand for a woman than there is going to be for a man.
Sure.
So it's like I could have someone every single day. So I have to really control my calendar. Like, okay, I'm booking you out 2 months from now because I have to limit how many clients I can see in a week to make it feel balanced in our relationship.
Charge more money and work less.
Yes. And I'm getting paid, right? And so I'm making money. My partner's not making money from having his experiences. So it's a little bit of a different balance. And so how do you navigate feeling like, I feel so alive and fulfilled, I'm doing all these things. And he's like, well, I got to be with one woman this month. So it feels a little off balance. So then I'm like, okay, I'm going to pause. So it's a very organic, not like a free for all, do whatever you want. It's like we're constantly checking in. How are you feeling? How are you doing? Anything we need to adjust?
You're going to have to give classes on how to do what you're doing.
Yeah. So I tell him all the time, he is literally the healthiest man I have ever met. And I'm like, you need to teach workshops on how to be like you, truthful, but supportive.
Not many guys would be able to handle.
Yes. And I've dated a lot of men between getting divorced and dating him. I dated a lot of men who thought they could handle it, men who had a fantasy of dating a woman like me. And then once it hit reality, they couldn't handle it. They got very jealous or possessive and controlling. And I can't, I die in that environment. And so, yeah, you have to have the right partner, but you can't have a partner. I think a lot of sex workers are told, if you're a sex worker, you can never find true love. And in fact, I just saw a sex worker on Twitter this week saying, anyone, please tell me that you left this industry and you're able to go on to find love. And I was like, honey, I am in the industry and I have love. It's not either or. It's not then and later. It's both and. And so that's why I teach. I'm a life coach as well. I teach my clients, like, just because society says you can't have this and this doesn't mean that has to be true for you. And so I really held on to, I get to have love and my career. I get to have love and money. I get to have this and that. And I will do my damnedest to make sure that that becomes my reality.
Do you feel like our society is too uptight about sex?
100%. It is like the most basic human need/desire. And we are constantly in fear of it, but constantly want it. And constantly creating policies against it while secretly booking it behind the door. And I'm just like, the whiplash. And so like I have to really stay grounded in my power while all the bullshit goes down in politics and just our rights are always going up and down. It's like, I know who I am. I know I'm safe. I know what I'm doing. The world, maybe, I don't know if America will ever catch up. I think America is too puritanical and too hypocritical. But we've made progress. We've taken some steps back. But I do hope in the future we keep making progress towards a safe, inclusive, equal country for sex workers as well. Mm.
It's just crazy because, I've heard percentages that it's an incredibly large percentage of the internet is basically pornography. So clearly this is something that we're all interested in and fascinated by. Not porn, but sex. And it's just interesting that it's so frowned upon and we look down on sex workers and it's so difficult for somebody to do what you're doing.
And I honestly think sex workers, like, I view us as the healing balm of the world. Like, people go, what about men who hire women like you who are married? And I've met enough of these men over my career. And one thing that I love is some of these men, they're in sexless marriages, but they love their partner. They'll never leave their spouse. They'll never leave their wife, but they also have desires and needs. And if I can help fulfill that in one way or another, it takes the stress off. It fizzles out the resentment and they go back more alive and healthier, and more connected to their wife than if they hadn't had that release. And again, I've had everything thrown at me. You're just justifying it. You're excusing, blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, I'm not responsible for a man's behavior. I don't even know if a man is in a relationship or not. People lie all the time. So like even on regular dating apps, if you go on Tinder, there's married men on there posing as single. Like I cannot predict who is in a relationship or not. But I will say, because I'm such an authentic soul, men usually come to me with their truth. And they'll say, this is my situation. What is your advice for me? And I will say, like, people pay for video calls. 50 to 75% of my video calls is just to talk. They want advice. They want to be heard. They want to be seen. There's nothing sexual. And then the smaller percentage is, let's do sexy stuff. And I find that even in my in-person appointments, they want to connect. Like, you know, I saw a gentleman recently who was shaking. He was so scared. He's like, I've never done this. I've never hired someone. And like, he was, and I had to like put my arms on him and say, you're safe here. You're safe. You're okay. And what would you like to experience in our time together? And like get to the heart and just like, and then rocked his world. Like it was so incredible. And he like texted me afterwards, like so mind blown and so at ease. And I'm like, how is this not for me? Like the most beautiful thing I can do for a person is take them from being so scared or nervous or terrified, find out what they want, give them that experience, and they walk away a very different and better person in my mind.
It seems like sex is really elusive for a lot of men. Mm-hmm. And that's why pornography has become so popular.
Yeah. And I find like in our society, we have so many issues with sex and men, they need to be the alpha and pursue and blah, blah, blah. And I have an opinion that most men have never been seduced. Most men have never been pursued. They've never been taught how to be pursued and or that's bad or wrong. And so men find in my presence, whether it's online or person, this softness to just like let me take charge sometimes, not all of them, every person's different, but for the ones who are like, I've never been ravished, I've had sex but I've never been ravished, I've never felt worshipped, I'm like, oh honey, you lay back and let me blow your mind. And I love watching their face and their body respond, and just like, to me it is the most holy work, is ravishing a man behind closed doors. And because it is such a life-changing experience, I absolutely believe I should be compensated for it.
Yeah, you should. It's interesting to me that so few women seem to have the skills that you're describing. Mm-hmm. I don't know where you learn them.
Right.
But you seem to have it.
It's and, so funny,
and
too.
It just seems like a lot of women just don't tune into that. Yeah. And guys are obsessed by that kind of attitude and behavior.
I think sometimes women are afraid of their power. We are so powerful when we can tap into our bodies and our desires and our sensuality and our sexuality, and we're not afraid of it. It is a force. It is a force, and you can either try to suppress it and act like it's not that big of a deal, or you can learn how to channel it. And I love channeling it, because not only do I get paid for sex work, the way I am treated on an everyday basis walking out, people say it's pretty privilege, sure. But there's an energy to me that people feel, and they'll be drawn and they'll want to give me things, do things for me, ask me for things. Like I was literally just at an interview for SiriusXM. I'm sitting in the lobby and this man walks in and he looks at me and you could see this feeling hit his body, and he like slowly walks over. He goes, there is an aura about you. The second I saw you, he's like, it caught my attention and I had to come over and say hi to you. What is your name? And we had this whole conversation and this whole thing. And he's like, oh my gosh, he's a musician. He's like, I have this event coming up. I can tell from your energy, you'd be the perfect person to host this event. And it all started for me sitting in my chair, not engaging with him. And so by me learning to channel this sexual energy, this sensual energy, stuff like that happens to me all the time. And I think women are so afraid to do that because you will be accused of being shallow, selfish, you're manipulating, you're using people. And it's like, I'm literally sitting in a chair and people are coming up to me to give me something or offer me or invite me because I'm so embodied.
I think a lot of people, a lot of women will have this attitude that women who are doing the things that you're doing are bad.
Yes.
Bad.
Yeah.
But there is nothing more. I don't think there's a guy on earth that doesn't want a girl that it maybe has the attitudes and the skill set that you have, but also which you seem to have. You're clearly a good woman.
Yeah, thank you.
And you get that combination, like
it's
what
like that's
fuck?
The there
isn't a guy on earth that doesn't want that.
Ah, That's how I.
Because a lot of the girls that may be sex workers are clearly dishonest and maybe into things that they shouldn't be, and they're going to try to get as much money as you can. They're dishonest.
That's the difference with me, because I know a ton of sex workers. I have friends who hire them all the time, and so I learn about these experiences. When you experience Nicole Mitchell, it is very passionate. It is, I'm all in. I want to blow your mind. I am so committed to like giving you experience you've probably never had. Like that is genuinely my passion. A lot of these women, and it's no fault, like you do your job however you want, are doing it just because it's the job. I have to pay my bills, right? Which I get. So like you come in, they do the bare minimum, and they're so excited for you to leave. And I just like, I can't relate. So I joke that I have a mentor who's been really helpful, Melanie Monroe. Shout out to her. She's amazing. She jokes about having a hoe school. And I'm like, we need a co-teach a hoe school, but to teach these girls how to use their power and seduce and make it passionate and mind-blowing and not just, okay, get in, now get out. Like I can't relate to. I genuinely want to give you an experience you'll think about for the rest of your life.
There are women, and I've known more than a handful of them, who are – they should teach classes on how to be a woman.
Yeah.
They should teach classes on how to be a woman, because mm-hmm. a lot of women are just – yeah, they might be good in business, and yeah, they might – I don't know. It seems like a lot of women are just out of touch with what men would want.
Mm-hmm. And I think we have to like work on that, because – obviously, being in the patriarchy, in our society, as a woman, as a sex worker, there's a lot of reasons to fear men, hate men, be resentful towards men. And I have to actively work on seeing the good in men, because I learn about all kinds of horrific things, all the violence against women. You know, my partner, I was just talking about this yesterday, how the number one person who harms women is typically their husband or partner. It's like so horrifying that we fall in love with someone who are more likely to kill us than let us live. And so how do you remain soft towards, much less want to seduce a man in a patriarchy? And so I actively have to work on seeing the good, having really high standards so I don't attract the crazies, and know that they are worthy of love too. And I think a lot of women in this industry are very bitter towards men, have had enough horrible experiences, which I understandably and horrifically, it justifies them like get out, like fuck you.
That's the worst thing ever.
Give me your money, move on. Like I 100% get that, but I don't want to become that. So I actively work on staying soft towards men, focusing on the good, even when there is so much bad.
What are the negatives of this lifestyle that you lead?
I say that number one thing for me, it's hard making girlfriends.
I'll bet.
You know, I live in Southern Orange County. It's very conservative down there. I look just like your average housewife. Like I'm very friendly, and then I'll make friends, and our kids will play together, and then I feel safe. They'll be like, "What do you do?" And I'm like, "Oh," and I slowly ease my way into that conversation. And I can't tell you how many times, once they find out I just do OnlyFans — this is not even annoying about escorting — just OnlyFans, never hear from them again. No more playdates for my kids. And that is what I wish. I'm like, wait, you've been talking to me. You see my heart. You know I'm a good person. But just the stigma of my career has them cutting me out. And so that, and as a very extroverted person who loves people, it's hard over the years to see my circle get so small, because I want to be friends with everyone. But I would say the vast majority, at least where I live, cannot handle my career.
And that's the stigma mm-hmm. of being a sex worker.
Mm-hmm. They associate — I just had someone on Twitter compare this to me, that something about how my work is equivalent to the Epstein files. I was like, oh my God, like this is exactly what's wrong with America. I'm an adult doing adult things with fellow adults, fully consensual, fully above board. And you're relating me to these horrific crimes with like against women and children. They are so opposite. Mm-hmm. But because we are so ignorant and undereducated and misinformed, we just clump anything with sex together and be like, you are just as bad, Nicole. And I'm just like, what I do could not be further from what you were comparing me to, but I can't prove that to you because you're not educated enough and you're not open to learning. You're not willing to hear my story. So I'm just like, okay. I'm not here at the end of the day to convince anyone of anything. I'm not here to convince you. You should love me, accept me, whatever. It's like, you're entitled to believe what you want. I'm entitled to believe what I want. I'm just here for the already convinced. So that's why I tend to spend a lot of time with very open-minded people who are in the industry. And then if there's a civilian who is just open and supportive, I welcome them into my role because I love humans. But I'm not going to spend any more of my life trying to convince anyone of anything.
What would you tell a woman who is curious about what you're doing and your lifestyle, but maybe is just too afraid of doing it?
Yeah, I would say that's the word. The word is be curious. Instead of pulling back out of fear and judgment, lean in with curiosity. And, you know, I have a ton of interviews out there. Watch all my stuff. I have a ton of digital courses as a life coach. You can hire me. Like, I do always encourage mentorship no matter what career you're in. I think learning from people who've gone before us, people who have what we want, paying them to teach you how to get there is a smart business investment. But I just say lean in and just learn. Just admitting your desires and being open to learning doesn't commit you to the lifestyle. You can absorb and read all the books and take the courses and hire different sex workers and learn and be like, oh, I like this part. Oh, I don't like how they do that. And like mold your own version of it and then just do baby steps. Like I loved that I started completely online. It was just OnlyFans. Then I love that I morphed into, okay, I'll do in person, but there's no intimacy. It's just my companionship. And seeing men like happy to pay me for that and then reaching a point like, okay, I've always wanted to offer intimacy, but is it safe? How do I make sure I'm safe? And so I had to learn from those who've gone before me and then put my toe in the water and just try it. Oh my God, that was amazing. How can I replicate that? So I just tell people, be open, be curious, learn from those who've gone before. You can ask me. I'm a very open book. And then just start small. You don't have to jump into the deep end.
Your attitude about sex is not that it's dirty or that it's bad.
No, it's like, I think it's the most natural thing in the world. And it has the potential to be the most beautiful thing in the world. And
super healing too.
So healing. Like sometimes I wish my sessions could be filmed because the whole interaction, the welcoming, like you see the softness, like in their shoulders drop, they, you know, and then this incredible experience I'm able to help co-create with them and then finishing and then like them walking out and like everything is so done so safely and so purely and so beautifully. It's just like I sometimes wish it could be captured and people could witness. And that's why I do my best to share in stories so people can understand that this is a really beautiful, healing, erotic, amazing thing.
Your attitude is also something that a woman who doesn't want to make money at this mm-hmm. could incorporate into her relationships.
Yes. That's what I think. That's what I've told so many of my clients over the years who've hired me is you don't have to do any of this, but you can have this energy, this aura, these standards as a whole. And it's amazing how many of these women who've taken my programs or hired me to be the mentor, how much better their relationships get, how all of a sudden people are noticing them and paying for the coffee or asking to buy them something and just like, it was all there all along. You just were, and I was the same way, I was so afraid to open up and receive attention, receive conversation, receive compliments, receive cash. And like now I'm at a point, not so I'm open to it. It is a requirement. Like you can't really engage with Nicole or spend time with Nicole unless there is some kind of gifting because I know my value and my worth. I know you're going to walk away so completely transformed. But it started with me just like, can I be open to it? And so many women benefit from just that small shift in their energy when they work with me.
Yeah, a woman who has your attitude about love, sex, whatever we're talking about is, I mean, that's everything. You want to keep your man close and in love with you? That, this is the way to do it.
Yes. Oh, it's my passion. It's like, it's interesting as a sex worker, people are not as familiar with sex work as like you're destroying relationships.
He doesn't care what you're making for dinner if you're doing this. he gives two shits about what you can put a TV dinner.
And I don't cook and I don't clean. But let me tell you how I got this ring. Like I don't cook and I don't clean. I know what I bring to the table. I know my value and what I provide in a relationship and I double down on it. Like that is like if there's any advice in giving a relationship, it's not about fulfilling any gender role. It's like what do you bring that makes your partner obsessed with you? Double down on that. Like bring, multiply, amplify who you are and then find things that make them feel seen. So when I was leaving, I had to get up super early to do all my things this morning and I was leaving the house and the kitchen is a disaster and that's my partner's like number one thing. He loves a clean kitchen and I hate cleaning. This is why I hire an assistant to clean for me. And I'm like, good God, it's so early. I'm so tired. The last thing I want to do is clean. But I know he's going to wake up and it's going to blow his mind. So I cleaned that whole kitchen and I left. And then we called later. He's like, thank you like he felt so seen that he'd get up at 8 in the morning, walk out, and it was spotless. And so it's like, I know what I bring, I amplify it, and what are these little things that I can do to make him feel so seen and special that I don't want to do, but I know it'll influence my relationship. So I find that my work and who I am really does make my relationship better, and I think that is one thing I wish the world would understand better about sex workers, is we're not ruining families or relationships. I think most of them we're healing them, and we can show you how to have someone fall in love with you. It is my job to have men fall in love with me, in an essence, right? And it has to happen kind of quickly. And so if I can do that pretty quickly, think of what I can do on the daily basis with my own partner. And there's little tips and tricks that I can teach you to help your relationship thrive, whether it's a friendship or a partnership. And everyone deserves that.
What an interesting talk.
I know. I can talk about this all day. I'm just obsessed with humans. I'm obsessed with our potential. I'm obsessed with pleasure. I think we are so afraid to feel good, and we try to temper how much good we allow into our life. And my job as a mentor, as a woman, as a sex worker is like, can we blow the roof off on how much pleasure you can feel in this moment? Like, if you felt totally safe and there was nothing bad was going to happen after this, what would you want to experience? And like, just giving people permission, whether it's my clients, my coaching clients, who are like, I've never thought about that. Like, I'm so busy raising my children. I don't even think about what could I do to blow the roof off of my own pleasure. Or with a gentleman client, like, what would rock your world in our time together that you would just absolutely love? Oh, well, could we try this? I'm like, absolutely, let's do it. And so I love helping grow people's capacity for pleasure as a whole.
Hmm. Nicole, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts and your experiences. Your story is amazing.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on. I love your work, and I love all the stories you have. And I love that you allow people with kind of extreme situations share their heart and kind of the why behind what they do. And so thank you for giving me that opportunity.
I just think your attitude is something that a lot of people could learn from.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Thank you very much.
Of course.